Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
How's everybody doing? Well, that was a blessed time of worship. And I just want to continue in that, really. My desire right now is just to rest in the Spirit right now and really just share what's been placed on my heart, share what the Lord's revealed to me. It's really hard to kind of disengage yourself from this position and just share as a brother, you know, but that's my desire today, and that's what I've been praying for, is just that the Lord would give me peace and the ability to just, I look around the room and I got my Teen Challenge brothers here. I even got brothers who came out to support, you know, and just to know that they're here with me. And so really I'm just amongst family today. So I'm very thankful for that. First of all, I just want to start out by asking who all was able to be a part of the really awesome event on Sunday night. Any of you able to be there? Amen. That was really good. That was really just a reminder to me of what the Lord is doing in this region. You know, honestly, me and my wife moved here about a year and a half ago, a little over. And when we first came here, we saw a little glimpse of why the Lord was bringing us here in Teen Challenge. You know, and really, in a sense, we thought that was it. But what we're learning since we've been here is that there's definitely something that the Lord is doing in this area. And I really believe that. I believe that the Lord is shaking this area, and he's shaking not only the ministries, but just as individuals, the people. And so just to see the reasons unfold, you know, of why the Lord brought us here is really neat. So I've been growing over the past year and a half in ways that I never could imagine, never could foresee. So as I was preparing this message, I really came under attack in the last couple of days. I thought that I had the message kind of all together. And last night I went home and I told my wife. She went out with a friend, and I told my wife I'm going to go home and I'm just going to kind of finish putting this thing together. I'm going to kind of spell it out, you know, get it ready, get it prepared, and get it ready for you guys today. So I went home, and I'm praying, and I'm reading through what I had felt like the Lord had laid on my heart. And there just came a point where I just felt this block. I just felt like there was something blocking me. As you know, as I was kind of preaching to the air, in a sense, you know, I do that to prepare, preaching to the air, and I just couldn't get past a certain point. And one thing that I've learned in my walk, that is, if there's a wall there, kind of one of the first things that I do is kind of go through a checklist of things. Okay, why could this wall be there? You know, one of the things that comes to mind is well, maybe this isn't the message that the Lord had prepared for me. So maybe he's stopping me before I continue any further. I didn't really feel that to be the case, though, so I kind of continued to go through my checklist of things. And the next thing I asked was, Lord, is there something standing in between me and you and freedom to allow you to move through me? So I just asked him, search my heart, Lord. You know, search my heart. You know me. Whatever it is, bring it forth. And I felt like he began to reveal something to me, but I really didn't want to accept it, you know. I was like, okay, God, well, I asked you, but that can't be it, you know, not that. And I had my reasons and I had my justifications. And at that time, I was brought back to something that me and the guys went to Napanee Missionary Church a few weeks ago. And one of our brothers there, he loves Teen Challenge. He's a huge supporter of Teen Challenge. And he spoke a word, a little Bible study for us a couple of weeks ago, and it was out of the book of 2 Kings. And even as he was sharing the story, it really impressed, you know, it was really impressed upon my heart to not just leave it there, what he had brought us through, but to actually go home and continue to kind of study that and pull from it what I might pull from it. And the story, like I say, it's in 2 Kings. It's a story about King Josiah. King Josiah, he inherited a kingdom, the Jerusalem, Judah, when he was 8 years old. And as an inheritance, what he inherited is what his forefathers were doing before him, which his forefathers before him were against God. They had built up false idols. They were worshiping false idols. They were burning incense to false idols and false gods and doing all these things against the Lord. And so here comes little Josiah. It says he was 8 years old whenever he inherited the kingdom. And here comes little Josiah, and he inherits this kingdom. And, excuse me. Get a drink of water here. And so not only did he just inherit a kingdom, but he inherited what his forefathers were doing as well. Okay, so he inherits all this junk and all these things. He grows up. It says, the Bible says, you know, he was the king over Jerusalem and Judah for somewhere around 30, 31 years, something like that. So he grows up, he's becoming a mature young leader and just continuing in the ways of his fathers, continuing the way of false gods and things like that. But if you can imagine, that's what he inherited. So he didn't really see the problem in it. To him, it was probably all okay. You know, this is what I've known. It was what I was born into. So he just went on about his merry way. Well, here in 2 Kings, that's where I'm going to be. You can turn there. We're going to read a little bit out of there here in a minute. But in 2 Kings chapter 22, it tells the story of King Josiah. And how at this point, he was about 25, 26 years old. And for whatever reason, they were cleaning up the temple. They were doing some repairs. There was brick masons, and there was carpenters, and there was all kinds of, you know, people in the temple cleaning it up, fixing it up. And the temple is the house of the Lord. Even then, even though at that moment they had had false statues, false poles of Asherah and things like that built up within the temple, it was still the house of the Lord. And so they were cleaning it up. That's where I want to start reading. Verse 8, chapter 22, verse 8. It says, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. So once again, there was people in there cleaning it up. They ran across the book of the law, or the book, or the word of God in a sense. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. This was the word of the Lord. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. So I'm guessing, I'm just kind of, you know, coming up with my own conclusion in a sense here. King Josiah inherited Judah at 8 years old, grew up, was living in the way of his fathers, worshiping false gods, worshiping false idols, burning incense to false idols, sacrificing children, all kinds of crazy things. I'm sure somewhere along the way there had to be something in his heart that was saying, this ain't right. But nonetheless, he was doing what he knew to do. And from what I can gather, this might have been one of the first accounts of him actually on his own hearing from the word of the Lord, or the book of the law, as they called it, the word of the Lord. And this, it's kind of cool how he responds to it. Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. So, paint a little picture for you. when he heard the word of the Lord, he immediately became under conviction. He immediately, his eyes were open to the fact that I've been living against the ways of God. It doesn't matter what I grew up in. It doesn't matter what my father's passed on to me. It doesn't matter. He didn't even question that. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, what about this and what about... He didn't question. He just knew this is the word of the Lord. This is what the word says. This is what I'm doing. These things don't line up. Oh, no. I'm in trouble. Let me go speak to the Lord. Let me hear from the Lord. And so that's where we're at. It says, they have not acted in accordance with all that is written. Verse 14, Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan. This is a bunch of strange names. We'll get there. Asaiah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem. I'm sure that's got some great meaning. But the main thing we need to know is that they did what they knew at the time to hear from the Lord, which was seek. At this moment, it was a woman of the Lord, a prophetess, somebody who I'm guessing had a track record of seeking the Lord and hearing from the Lord and then faithfully and truthfully relaying the message of the Lord. So they did what they knew to do to hear from the Lord. She said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord of God Israel says concerning the words you heard. Now, before I go any further, which we're getting ready to come to a really cool place. Oh, okay, cool. You know, when I was reading through this part, I thought to myself, well, I don't really want people at this point to hear that and revert back to something that we revert to so often and I hear so often is, you know, what about this God of the Old Testament, though? It's like he was always angry. You know, he's always mad. All you hear about is his wrath. And yeah, you know, here we're kind of setting the stage, and he is talking about his wrath. But I just want to say something real quick before we move forward, because I don't want you to see that. First of all, we need to know that many times before now, the Lord has outstretched his hand to his people, and they've turned away from him. And then he's outstretched his hand to his people, and they've turned away from him. And then he's outstretched his hand to the people, and they've turned away from him. So it's not like the Lord just was ready and wanting to pour out his wrath just because he can. He's a loving God, and we're getting ready to see that. So I just wanted to make that clear before I move forward. But here's what's beautiful, because even though the people had turned away and turned away and turned away, here was a man who heard the word of the Lord and said, I mean, it doesn't specifically say that he said this, but this is what he said, Father, forgive me. He tore his robe. He realized all of a sudden that what he was doing was wrong. It was against the word of the Lord. Go speak to the Lord on my behalf, please. I have to make this right. And so this is where the Lord's getting ready to show his love once again, even on a people who continually turn away from him. Because that's why I love my God, amen? Because he is merciful and he is gracious. Verse 19. He's talking to Josiah. It says, because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king. So amen. That's the God we serve. That's a good story. And the story is not over. The story is actually just beginning. It's about to get really good. But even up to now, I'm just really excited. And I want us to be encouraged. And I'm encouraged to know that I serve a God that even on those days where I, in my heart of hearts, know and feel like, man, I've really not followed the direction of the Lord over my life in this day. And I pray that that's not my heart of hearts very often, but if I'm being honest, there are days where I know even in the little things that he's directing me, and maybe I'm not following that direction completely, but I know that he says right here that when you turn your heart back to me, I will be there without fail. And so I'm thankful to serve a Lord like that. Chapter 23. The title of this is Josiah Renews the Covenant. There's also another title I was reading in my phone. I got a phone Bible, and I think maybe it was New King James. But Renewing True Worship was the title of that. And that really stuck out to me. You know, it's to let me know that what worship is. You know, this isn't just worship, but it's worship to hear the word of the Lord and come under conviction and then return to him. That's worship. And so what we're getting ready to see is another form of worship. So chapter 23 says, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king's okay. I'm gonna stop right there real quick, and I want to make clear. Even early on, one thing I was impressed with Josiah. If you go back here to, I think it's like verse 13 or so. Yeah. Verse 13, it says, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah. Once again, you see here, he says, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. So I'm just really impressed by Josiah at how he wasn't just worried about himself. He was concerned about his people. He was concerned about his friends. He was concerned about his family. And so when he realized that what he had been doing was wrong, he didn't want to just keep that to himself, but he wanted to share it with his people also. There's a lesson in that. I'm going to keep moving forward. Verse 3. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart, all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Okay, so he recommitted himself to the Lord. He recognized his ways and he recommitted himself to the Lord. Verse 4 says, the king, and then here's it's getting good. Verse 4, the king ordered Hilkiah the priest next in rank and the doorkeepers, to remove from the temple of the Lord. So before I get into this, I just want to set the stage. So here's Josiah. He's committed to the Lord, but he didn't leave it there. What he's getting ready to do is he's getting ready to go on a rampage of all things standing in the way of his relationship with the Lord. See, because he knows that he can't just recommit himself to the Lord and then just leave things the way that they are and expect things to be okay. It's about recommitting our lives to the Lord and then immediately taking action and getting out there and tearing down, as Josiah did, all the false idols that had been standing in his way, all the things that were lies in his life, all the things that had grabbed onto him and were holding on to him. He immediately went out And I'm sure it was over a course of days, because you're getting ready to see there's a number of things that he went and tore down, burned up, dug up. He destroyed some things. He killed some people. He was not playing with his faith. He was serious. And so, just going to give a few examples here. Verse 4 says, the king Josiah ordered Hilkiah the priest, the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry host. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priest appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places in the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Verse 6. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes which were in the temple of the Lord and were where women did weaving for Asherah. I could keep reading. I'm just going to list off some things real quick. You're not going to be able to follow me here. Said he desecrated high places. He desecrated Topheth. He removed from the entrance of the temple of the Lord horses that the kings of Judah dedicated to the sun. He pulled down altars. He removed them from there, smashed them to pieces. He threw the rubble into the valley. He desecrated the high places. And so on and so forth. You get the picture? Verse 14 says, Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. This is kind of the next point that I want to make. He covered them with human bones. So as I read that, I thought to myself, well, what does that mean? You know, so here's Josiah. He's wrecking the city. He's getting everything prepared for the Lord, more so probably for himself. But not only did he just cut these things down, but then he covered them in human bones. Well, what that says to me is that's a warning. He's sending a warning to those who might come behind him to say, that thing there, that's a graveyard. You don't want no part of that. Don't go around that. You know, and going back to the idea of God's anger and his wrath, how many graveyards, are people before us, they put the bones down. How many graveyards do we step in and say, oh, this is okay. You know, this is okay. I'm gonna play around in here anyways, and I'm not going to die. You know, and so he's setting up for the next person who comes along. He's warning them in a sense. I think we get the picture here. I want to kind of finish this up. Verse 25. This really touched my heart. It says this. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. And that's my challenge today. That's what I've been challenged with. That's what I want to challenge you with. That's something that God's been challenging me over the past number of months. Is what does it really mean to give my heart to the Lord? What does it really mean to give my strength to the Lord? To give my soul to the Lord? We see the story of Josiah, and the Lord says that's what it means. Is that when we come to a place of repentance, that we don't allow those things to stand in our lives anymore, but we go out immediately and we take action. We tear those things down. And so, I started a little story with you earlier about myself, about how last night was kind of a crazy night for me. We see the story of Josiah. This is a very extreme case, which is good. We need to see those extreme things. But a lot of times with us in the church, I think that we need to see also very practical things, very day-to-day things, because the big things are kind of obvious. What about the small things? What about the small idols that come into our life that are really easy? I mean, we're not burning it. That's my justification. Lord, but how is this an idol in my life? I'm not burning incense to this thing. I'm not on my knees praising this thing. I'm not, you know, sacrificing people on an altar. So really, is this thing that I'm struggling with that I don't know why really, but in my heart I just feel yucky about it, but I just don't want to accept the truth that this thing in my life is really the same thing as this thing. And so I want to share my life with you, as some of you know I'm good at. What I mean by that is I do feel like the Lord has, you know, he's called all of us to share our stories to help. And so just going to share a little bit, just a short story of something I've been going through just in preparing this message. And you know what's crazy is I had to go through this in order to preach this message. And I had to complete the task that was set in front of me before the Lord released me to freely preach this message. And so it was really, man, it was tough. It was tough because it was real life stuff. And so what I hope that we learn today is something, you know, some real life things. I'm going to give an opportunity here in a little bit for us to all come, you know, and lay some real life things, small things. Things that are easily justified. Things that we really don't, you know, want to accept to be these things. So anyways, where to start? You know, I'm a worship leader in a sense. I don't call myself that really, but I guess that is kind of what I am from time to time. And being a worship leader, you know, we've got guitars. And we've got, you know, little gadgets and things and pedals and all these things to kind of, you know, make us do what we do, I guess. And one of the things that I really struggle with, one of the things that in my heart I just kind of feel yucky, I don't really feel released that this is the path that the Lord has placed me on, but yet I still find myself kind of often going after it, is, you know, little gadgets and little things for my guitar, and I'm always kind of looking for a new guitar, maybe a better guitar, you know, and I'm easily justified because I got a little Yamaha acoustic, you know, $300 kind of bottom of the line type of thing, and you know, it really don't sound that good when you plug it in. So, you know, justifications, reasons, I got them, and hey, guess what too, man, I use this for the Lord. If anybody's justified in it, I'm justified in it because I use it for the Lord. Well, something very specific that happened lately. I've been wanting to get this little pedal. There's a thing out there called TC Helicon Acoustic Play. And it's got all these nice little gadgets on it and everything. And I've been really wanting to get one. And last week, I got the opportunity to go do some worship stuff in Goshen. And on my way back through, I was coming past here. And I knew that I had to get ready for the word. And not just that, but I also knew that the Lord had really been drawing me to spend some more time in here. Not just to be here, but to fellowship with him and to, you know, begin to go deeper in him. And this is just a great place to do that. So I'm driving back by, and in the back of my mind, I know I got a few hours free. You know, so I'm thinking, I'm going to go to Guitar Center. I'm going to go see if they got that pedal that I want. But the Lord says, you're going to be driving right past the Voice. Why don't you spend some time in there? You know, you've been claiming that you really want to go deeper in me. Why don't you put that on the altar? And why don't you come seek me a little bit? And I'm thinking, oh man, you know, God, come on. I got 3 hours ahead of me. You know, let me go. Let me, you know, I don't want to go in there and pray. I want to go see what Guitar Center has. You know, real life stuff, guys. The real life stuff. That's what I want to do. But I was like, okay, God, I'll go in here and I'll pray. But afterwards, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to Guitar Center. And God was like, oh, so what you're saying is that you want the best of both worlds. You want one foot in and you want one foot over here. Now, once again, you know, going to Guitar Center is not a bad thing. But when the Lord is calling me to set aside some time and seek Him, but yet I'm allowing this thing in my life to pull me away from that, then it becomes a bad thing. And that's what I was doing. I was really battling, and I was even in a place where I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go to the prayer room, and I'm not even happy about this. I don't even know what I'm going to study, but I'm just going to let you work this out. I'm going to go to the prayer room, but when I leave, I'm pretty sure I'm going to Guitar Center even still. So I get in here. You know, I do the thing. My heart's really not in it, but I'm doing it anyways. And I get back there, and I'm back there where Otis is sitting. And I open my Bible, and I'm sitting there, and I'm not reading. I'm not doing anything. I'm just kind of staring off into space, and I'm struggling. And I sit there for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, the scripture popped into my head, or the story of Cain and Abel. And the Lord said, your offering to me right now is that of Cain, and I detest it. And I was like, no. I'm serious. I was like, no, that's not what the Lord's saying. I just thought of that scripture all of a sudden, you know, and I didn't want to accept it. So I sit there a little bit longer, and without really knowing it, I can think back, you know, and I kind of come to the conclusion. I was like, yeah, maybe that is, you know, I can see definitely where that could be. And so I just kind of laid my head back and I actually fell asleep for a little bit, which I was completely okay with. You know, I sleep while praying with the Lord often, you know, and just rest in Him. And so, you know, I lay my head back and I woke up maybe 20 minutes later or so, and I thought to myself, well, I don't really know where to read. You know, I don't really have anything on my heart. Well, I'll pull out my phone and go to my daily scripture. And a lot of times that really kind of leads me to some good places. And I pulled it out, and the scripture that was for that day said, I have hidden my word in your heart that I might not sin against you. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, that was what happened. Yes, it is what happened, is that I was sitting back there and the Lord brought up to me that my offering to Him of being here was detestable to Him at that point. And so I immediately came under conviction and I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go to Psalms 119 because that's where it was. And I was going to read the rest of that scripture. Let me get to Psalms real quick. I'm going to go to Psalms. And as I was opening it, it opened to 116, and I thought, well, maybe I'll read from 116 to 119. So the very first verse that I read in 116 says this, 116 verse 1, says, I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. And in that moment, I was just broken to think of what the Lord's brought me through, but yet I bring Him a detestable offering? How dare I? And I know my story, and I know what the Lord's brought me through. And so immediately in that place, not only was I broken, but I was free. Because at that moment, I let my will go. And I completely embraced God's will, and I received freedom. And I was like, man, I'm staying here all day. I don't care about Guitar Center anymore. I'm staying here. And, you know, and it was just a really, really awesome moment. I continued to read, and it really just continued to make even more sense. Verse 3 says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. And then here it was, verse 7. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And in that moment, man, I just let God embrace me. And I just let go of all my agenda. And I just let go of everything that I thought I wanted. And I came to that realization once again that if it's something that the Lord's leading me in, I can trust Him. He wants rest for me. And I just completely was overtaken, had a great afternoon. The story's not over. I woke up the next day. You know, I felt free from that moment. I woke up the next day, and this really isn't funny. At the time, I didn't really see anything in it. I went right to Guitar Center. You know? I mean, does that sound familiar? And once again, you know, I didn't really want to accept. On the way there, I remember thinking, God, you know, if that pedal's in the used section, then I know that you've allowed me to get it, and I'm going to get it. But then even in that sentence, I remember saying, no, I'm not going to do that, because actually I felt like I was testing God. My spirit didn't feel right in that, and I thought, no, I'm going to shut up, because I'm not going to test God. Well, guess what? I got there, and it was in the used bin. The exact pedal that I was looking for, it was in the used bin. I thought, oh, hey, that's God, you know. I bought it. I'm going to try to wrap up the story. I bought it. It was on police hold. It was used, so they had to hold it for like 5 or 6 days to make sure it wasn't stolen. It was on police hold, and so they still had it even up till yesterday. So now we're getting back to the very beginning of where all this started. Remember I said last night was really tough for me? You know, I was really going through some things. This is what happened. Last night I began to go over my word, and I began to ask the Lord, Lord, is there something that's standing in the way of me and you right now that you're not releasing me to do this? And what he brought to my mind was the pedal. And I thought to myself, man, it can't be. You know, like, why is that such a big deal, God? It's a pedal. I worship. I'm justified. But God, it was just there. It was just there. I can't really even explain it. You know, and there had to come a point. And I was even praying. I was like, Lord, speak to me, please. Come down out of the clouds. Sit down in front of me and tell me you want me to return the pedal. Because if you do that, then I will. But other than that, I don't know if I can do it because I got questions. But then the Lord just continued to impress it and continued to impress it. And I came to the place where I said, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. And I was taken back to Josiah, a king whose heart was fully after God. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to become, in this moment, the man whose heart is fully after God. And you know, I'm not sure of why. I'm not sure of why or what. But I feel that this is what the Lord is leading me to do. And I remember right there in that moment, I fell to my face in my kitchen floor last night, bawling, saying, Lord, I will give you everything. I will give you everything. But please don't remove yourself from me. Please don't allow there to be something that's keeping me from walking in the fullness of who you are. That is the number one thing in my life. It's that I know that I am as pure as possible and clean before the Lord, that He can flow through me, that He can flow in me. And man, I had some great moments, you know, just even moments, even in the last week of just seeking the Lord. And He would lift me up and He would give me joy. And I find myself at work pouring into the guys and just being free to be the child of God. But when that thing was blocking me off, I was bound. Even something that I worshiped the Lord with. So, it was 8 o'clock, and I was like, well, I want to go now. I want to go now, like Josiah did. I want to go now. But I know Guitar Center's not open at 8 o'clock. Well, I looked it up online, and they just started staying open until 9. But Arlette, my wife, was out. So I called her and I said, you got to come home. I got to take this thing back. I got to do this. I was kind of anxious to do it. I just wanted to get it done. And, you know, she didn't make it back in time. So I had all night to sleep on it and all day today to sleep on it. And I'm not going to lie, even still, there was a part of me that was going, man, can I just keep it? You know, is this really you, God? I mean, I don't really understand that. I'm not proud of that. Because I feel like within me that that's something that's like rebellious or something. I don't know. But I just kind of struggled with that today. And so I told my wife, today when we get off, I'm going to go straight there. And, you know, got off and went there. I called him first and I said, hey, I'm coming in to do this. The guy on the phone said, hey, you can do it tomorrow. You know, and I'm kind of skipping past some things now, but the guy on the phone even was like, you can do this tomorrow. And I received my joy once again. I was, because honestly, I was kind of downcast, just kind of working through it and all. But when he said that, I received my joy once again because I realized once again that the Lord wants to do something great through this, and the enemy's doing everything that he can to keep me from doing it, to keep me from giving this up to the Lord. So that's my story. We heard the story of King Josiah. I know we have things in our life. Greg, are you here? Yeah, we're going to just give an opportunity, give a moment here in a minute. And I, you know, that was a good story, I guess. You know, I don't know. We had some laughs and everything. But that really wasn't the intention. The intention of me sharing that story with you is to impress upon somebody's heart in this room, if not multiple people, because I know we've got those things in our lives. We've got those little things that we, somewhere deep inside, know that the Lord is asking us to just give to Him. Just give it to me. Just give that to me. And we don't know why, and so we kind of sit around and we ask questions, and we want to make sure we got the answer fully outright before we make a move. But God's just saying, just give it to me. I'll make it clear. Hey, listen, I needed to do that. For you. I needed to do that so that I could freely share this story with you today in freedom, that you might also as well receive the message of this story and lay it down as well. But guess what? God's asking you to lay whatever it is down, not just for you, but for somebody else also. And so we may not always be able to see all the reasons. We might not always be able to see all the whys and the whos and the whats. But there's something deep inside of us that's letting us know that God is speaking to us. And we have the ability to deny Him. But we also have the ability to trust Him. And to let Psalms 116 take hold of our life once again. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. And He did. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. Be at rest once more. You struggling with unrest? Lay it down. He'll give you rest. The thing that you're like, you don't understand how you could even find peace without that. Lay it down and He'll show you that He can give you peace without that. So today, I want to give us an opportunity to lay some things down. And I thank the Lord that He allowed me to go through this struggle. Guys, the past couple days have been tough. I mean, I share this story. It's been tough. I've had to lay some things down. It's not been easy. But I will say, my ultimate desire is to be able to sit freely at the feet of Christ and not bound by my junk. Not bound by things that He's saying I can take from you. So, That's the offer today. That's the invitation today. We're going to pray. And as we pray, y'all know how this works. If the Lord is speaking to you, then I ask you to respond. I'm asking you to respond. The Lord is asking you to respond and give Him the thing that you don't know how to give Him. Lay it at His feet and trust Him and watch His peace flood you. So, Father, we love You. God, but most importantly, You loved us first. You loved us first, God. We desire Your freedom, Father. We desire Your peace and Your rest, Lord. And we want to be used by You, God. If there's things standing in the way of being used by You, Lord, help us to rid ourselves of those things and lay them at Your feet. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I need You, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Lord, capture me with grace, 'cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Oh, capture me with grace, I will follow you. I will follow you.
Just really respect those that are here, and I want to share this with you. You can see how Josh pretty much agonized over this message to bring it, and so it was really important to God, and it was really important for you. And sometimes something so like a petal, you're thinking, what's the big deal? And it wasn't that it was a petal, it was just something that he needed to give to the Lord so that he could walk in freedom, rest, and I think peace is what you said. And we are living in a day right now that there's no middle ground. It's all out fascinated with Jesus and who he is. It doesn't work any other way. I've tried it. It doesn't work any other way. Unless you're completely sold out. So what was spoken tonight, just don't walk out of here and say, oh, that was okay. It's not about a message being okay or worship being okay. It's about the position of our heart and what God is saying to us to make us ready as a people, that nothing would interfere with your love for him and your passion for him. That's what I was receiving. And the Lord was showing me some things within me that I needed to lay down and give them to the Lord and trust him. Let me just tell you, I'll let you in on something. Probably a few brothers and sisters will say yes. I don't know about you, but you never really arrive. You're always going. And then it's like, oh, I got it. And then he shows you something else. Oh, I don't have it. And then you press in again and you press in again. But all the time, the love of God is what sustains you in the midst of the journey and the seasons and the change and the maturity that he brings you into. You see, like them right here, Jesus said, Mary chose the better part. Martha was busy with works, but Mary chose the better part to sit and listen and hear and let Jesus just wash over her. The better part in the Greek means better works. So it was talking about the works. And we would think doing, but the better works was sitting at the feet and listening to him. And letting him have all of you. So be encouraged tonight that God's setting you up to die so you can live. And that's just how it is. It's an upside down kingdom. And that's how it's going to be. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you again for tonight. I thank you for Josh and bringing this message to us and challenging us. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you just overwhelm us through the evening, tomorrow? Just point things out to us that we just need to lay at the feet of Jesus. And in the night seasons, Lord, give us dreams. Give us just understanding. Wake us up, and we just feel your presence. I thank you for what was spoken here tonight. I thank you for the worship. And we just count it all as unto you, Jesus, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen.